I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, today to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah the 7th chapter, and Jeremiah the 11th chapter, if you will find those two places. Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He was a man mightily anointed of God, and he had a message of God to his people. But he was a man who preached the word of God with much sorrow, with much disappointment, and with much frustration. From the book of Jeremiah today, I want to pose a question, and then also from this book, I want to answer the question. The question is this: when is prayer useless and fruitless? When will God not hear nor answer prayer? I believe every Christian believes in prayer. We all believe that God always hears and answers prayer. But the question I want to deal with this morning is there ever a time when prayer is useless or fruitless? Is there ever a time when God will not hear or answer prayer, and if so, what is that time? Now, the first time I read the book of Jeremiah after I had been born again, I came across this idea in Jeremiah's prophecy, and it caused me great difficulty because it ran crosswise of what I had come to know as a loving, caring, compassionate, merciful, and tender God. And I want to share two verses, one from the 7th chapter and one from the 11th. And I want you to watch this very carefully, and then we'll use that as a springboard to take us on a little deeper. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. God is speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah records the words of God thusly: therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. The next reference is the 11th chapter and verse 14. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Now, clearly, there is a time when prayer is useless. And clearly, there is a time when God will not hear nor answer prayer. For here, the man of God who had been called by God for an express purpose is told by the Lord specifically, don't you bother praying for them. Don't you cry for them. Don't you intercede for them. Because if you lift up a cry or a prayer, I will not hear you. If they lift up a cry or a prayer, I will not hear them. For in the midst of their trouble, when they cry to me, I am not listening. Why is that? What on earth could occur to cause God not to hear prayer? What possibly could happen? What possible circumstance could exist that God would refuse to hear a cry for help? I thought he always heard us when we cried in our trouble. There are apparently circumstances where that is not the case. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37, I think I can pin this down for you and show you what the circumstances are. And then we'll proceed to make a practical application of this principle in our own lives. I'm not going to touch you too closely today, but I pray that the Spirit of God will take this truth and minister it to each of us individually. Now, let me set the scene for you before we read the story. The scene is basically this. This is a story from the life of the people of Israel about 600 years before the time of Christ. Israel has been divided for approximately 400 years. After David and after Solomon, the 12 tribes split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. This has been going on now for about 400 years. Recently, the northern kingdom of Israel, with its capital in Samaria, has gone into captivity. They're no longer a free people, but they're enslaved. And at the time that this story is written, Judah has been subdued by Babylon, and Babylon has appointed its own king, a Jewish man, as its puppet king on the throne of Judah. The kings of Judah, however, were not faithful to Babylon and had rebelled against him. And now the king of Babylon has surrounded the city of Jerusalem and is about to exterminate those who are inside, and through the siege is trying to starve them out in order to finally and completely subdue the people of God. If you'll read the 36th chapter and the 37th, you will read about kings by the name of Jehoiakim, his son Jehoiachin, also called Coniah, to whom the word of God had come many times through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called in his day a traitor because God had pronounced judgment upon his people because of their sin. Jeremiah was God's mouthpiece, and he had said to the people, "Thus saith the Lord, if you will leave Jerusalem and go out and surrender to the king of Babylon, you will be safe. But if you insist on remaining in the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and so will you." He had much difficulty because of that, was rejected by his people because of his very unpopular prophecies. And we pick up the story here in the 37th chapter concerning a king by the name of Zedekiah. He was a king appointed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He was a Jewish man. He was appointed to keep order in Jerusalem, but he had rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll read 10 verses. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, now remember what question we're looking for the answer for today. What could possibly be a situation in which God could say, "I won't hear your prayers, and when you get into trouble and you pray unto me, I'm not listening"? What could possibly be a circumstance that would cause that? And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans or the Babylonians shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." Now the situation is this. The people in Jerusalem thought, what we'll do is we will call upon our Egyptian friends, and Pharaoh will send his chariots and his armies and his soldiers, and they will come and help us, and they will fight against these Babylonians, these Chaldeans. They will save us and they will deliver us. Zedekiah had sent word to Jeremiah when he saw the Babylonians surrounding his city. And he said, "Jeremiah, I want you to pray unto the Lord God for us." Verse 3. It appeared that that prayer had worked, because shortly thereafter came Pharaoh and his army forth out of Egypt. When the Egyptians showed up, the Babylonians fled. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, go tell Zedekiah the king that he should not have confidence in Pharaoh's army, and that even though the Egyptians have come and the Babylonians have gone, they are not totally departed from you. If you had fought against the Babylonians and wounded every one of them, and there remained none except wounded and casualties, they would rise up in their tents and still burn this city with fire. Why? Because I said they would. God's word is going to come to pass no matter what. When God says that judgment's going to fall upon this city, it's going to fall. And the people of Zedekiah and their helpers from Egypt are not going to prevent that from happening. Now, I want you to notice here, or did you notice, I guess I should say, as we were reading the story, God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. Yet the king asked Jeremiah, pray to the Lord God for us. God's answer was, I'm not going to deliver them from their trouble. Not only will I not deliver them, I will confound their own schemes. And even if it appears that by their own strength and their own schemes that they are able to deliver themselves from this problem, I will see that even the vestiges of what they think they destroyed will rise up and confound them and bring my word to pass. Now, did you see in this passage the answers here? Why it was that God would not hear their prayer? Why was it that prayer for this people was useless and fruitless? Why was it that God said to Jeremiah, when they cry out unto me in their trouble, I'm not going to hear them, and don't you bother praying because I won't hear your prayers either. There's nothing wrong with you, Jeremiah, but you might as well not pray for this people because I'm not listening. Did you see why? The answer is very clearly there. Does anybody see it? Let me see your hands if you think you see what it was that prevented, okay, about a dozen of you. The answer is in the second verse. Now watch this. For if you will understand this, you will find out why sometimes your prayers don't get over your head. You'll also find why it is that when you pray for others, sometimes you cannot get deliverance for them. Here's the answer. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord. God is not listening to the prayers of those who reject the clear words of God. God said to this people, this is what I'm going to do. This is what you must do. They refused to listen to the words of God, and then when they got in a crack, they prayed. God said, I'm not hearing your prayers because you rejected my words. This is a very common malady today in the Christian community. We like to pick and choose from the words of God and take what we like and reject what we don't. And then when we find ourselves in a crack, we want prayer. And when we don't seem to be able to get deliverance or freedom from that which binds us or that which torments us, we think there's something wrong with the one who's praying. Well, that's not the case at all. The case is my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. Let me take you to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, and let me give you one example. If I tried to give you many examples of how this works in our life today, it would take me all day and the rest of the week. I'm going to give you one practical application and trust the Spirit of God to give you any others that may be appropriate for you. I can't tell you how many times I have dealt with people who are in torment in personal ministry, personal counseling. They're unhappy. They can't sense the presence of God. They are confused. It seems like everything they touch is going bad on them. Everything's going sour. They can't seem to reach God. They pray and their prayers don't get anywhere. There just does not seem to be any of the fruit of God's Spirit operating in their life, none of the presence of God in their life, and they're distressed over that. And you get digging around and questioning them as to what's going on in their circumstances, and you find unforgiveness. Somebody hurt them. Somebody offended them. Somebody did them wrong. Somebody did them dirt. And they're not willing to forgive. Perhaps it's a former husband or a former wife. Perhaps it's a mother or a father. Perhaps it's a child. Perhaps it's an employer, a boss. Perhaps it's a fellow employee. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a brother or a sister in the Lord. Maybe it's a brother or sister in the flesh. But somehow or other, they've been offended and unwilling to forgive. And then they don't understand why their relationship with God is fractured and broken. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the what? Delivered him to the what? Tormentors. To the what was he delivered? Tormentors. He was delivered to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him, till prayer should be offered for him, till successful intercession should be made for him, until what? Until he should do what he was supposed to do. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. And you're praying for someone to be saved. Your prayers are not going to get that person saved. They're not going to come into heaven just because you prayed. Your prayers may bring them to a point where they'll be obedient to the Word of God, but it will take obedience to the Word of God. To reject Christ is to reject salvation. Malachi 3 and 10 says, Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. And we pray, Lord, should I tithe? We pray, Lord, help me to forgive so-and-so. The Word of God says clearly, forgive. Decide to forgive. We say, Oh God, I'm tormented. Deliver me from this torment. Oh Father, I pray that this torment will leave me. in the book of Proverbs, but yet we're unwilling to be obedient to the word of God. In the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, the 23rd verse, we're told, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." In other words, you have rejected my words. It wasn't you didn't know them. You rejected them. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call on me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Now turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, and read with me, beginning in the 46th verse. I want you to read this aloud with me. These are the words of the Master. I want you to understand today that rejection of the Word of God eliminates all other remedies. I'm not talking about ignorance. I'm not talking about you not knowing. I'm talking about knowing the Word of God and rejecting it. It eliminates all other remedies. You can intercede until the cows come home. Anybody that's raised cows know that the cows do not come home. You have to go get them. And so the term "when the cows come home" means never. You can intercede till the cows come home. You can have hands laid on you until they wear the hair off the top of your head. And it will not produce results if you're walking in rejection of the clear word of God. Verse 46, would you read aloud through the end of the chapter? "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, where was the power to have a stable life? It was on doing the word of God. It was not on intercessory prayer. I'm not putting down intercessory prayer, you understand, but that's no substitute when the word of God is clearly rejected. When we reject the word of God and walk contrary to it, we are asking for trouble and we are eliminating every other remedy. Now let's see what happened to Zedekiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Look at the 39th chapter. We could read chapter 31, and if we didn't read the second verse, we would think, well, bless God, there's Zedekiah. He's a man in trouble, and he goes right to the prophet of God and says, "Pray to the Lord for me. Here's a man that's really depending and trusting on the Lord." But we're told that he rejected the word of the Lord, and he was trying to substitute prayer for obedience. Chapter 39 records it did not work. "In the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nabo. You don't want to hear all the rest of those names, do you? And all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And all the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Now, we pose the question, in what cases is prayer useless and fruitless? And in what situations will God not hear nor answer prayer? And I've answered the question for you from the Word of God, that the case is when God's Word is rejected and when His people are in disobedience. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah 7, where we began. Let me show you something that I did not see the first time I read these passages. I can't tell you how I wrestled when I first saw God tell Jeremiah not to pray. Jeremiah 7, verse 13. I just skipped right over this part. I think most of us do. Jeremiah now is speaking the word of the Lord. Verse 1 says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. And verse 13 is a portion of that word. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, watch this now, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. I got up early and told you this, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore, why? Because I called you to repentance and you wouldn't. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for to me, for I will not hear thee. Now to the 11th chapter. Let's start reading here in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, this agreement we have, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that what? Will not obey. That obeyeth not the words of this covenant which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, this is what I said to them, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet what? They obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. In other words, they will suffer. I warned them, But they did not heed the warning, and so here it comes. The Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. There it is again. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, here's your sin. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense to Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Well, is that the answer to our question? Is there ever a time that God will not hear prayer? Is there ever a time that you may pray and he'll not hear your prayer? Is there ever a time that you may pray to someone for someone else that the Lord will not hear or answer your prayer? Yes, there is. Shortly after I was saved, it would be in 1975. I was part then of a traditional denominational church. I'd been truly born again. And in the course of that activity, I wanted to lead other people to Christ. And we instituted in that church a visitation program where we went out and shared with people who were visiting with us in the congregation and people who were members of our church but whom we had not seen in a while. And I went one night, it was in the wintertime because it was dark, I remember that. I went one night to a home of a family that, were members of our church, but we had not seen them in a while and had not been very regular in their attendance. And as I talked with them, a man and his wife and his teenage daughter, older daughter, 17, 18, none of them knew the Lord. The man had cancer. He had been operated on twice, if I recall correctly, and was recuperating from that second surgery, but the prognosis was not good. As I talked to them there, I began to question them about their relationship with Christ, and it became apparent that they did not know the Lord in a personal way and had not been born again. While I was concerned for the three of them, I was deeply concerned for him because he had one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. This is a man about 50. And I shared the gospel with him, opened the scriptures, and showed him the importance of coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal way and how to do it. And I asked him, would he like to do that now? And he said, no. And I asked him again, didn't he realize the seriousness of what we were discussing? And he said, yes. And I said, why wait? Wouldn't you like to do that now? And he said, no. And I had a prayer with him, just a, you know, just ordinary kind of a prayer. And I left his house, and I was driving down the highway, and I was driving down Bright Star Road. And I began to pray for him. And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as he ever has and said, don't pray for that man. And when he said that, I broke into tears. Just weep like baby. Because the Lord would not allow me to pray for a man whom I knew was almost gone without the Lord. And I couldn't understand at that time why I couldn't pray for him. All the Lord would tell me was, do not pray for him. And I couldn't pray for him. He did die. I don't know whether he came to know the Lord or not. I expect not. Some of you have come to my office for counseling. When you come to the office, you want primarily prayer. But when you get there, you find you don't get prayer. You find I give you the word. Some of you don't like it because you already know what the word is. And what you really want is prayer. But you get the word. Why is that? Some of you will come forward in a prayer line and you will request prayer, but you don't get prayer. You get the word. Why is that? Because obedience to the word of God is the only remedy for your problem. If you get prayer, you won't get a remedy. For if you're in disobedience, there is only one remedy. If you have heard the word of God and it's been delivered to you clearly, either through the preached message or God has shown it to you personally, and you refuse to be obedient to it, the problems that come into your life as a result of it will stay there until you do one thing, and that is turn around, go the other way, and become obedient to the word of God. There's no other remedy. Prayer is not a substitute for disobedience. Prayer will not cover up disobedience, and prayer will not replace disobedience. It will not remove the consequences. The only thing that will is repentance. The only thing that will is turning and becoming obedient to the word of God. I remember one situation where I had an individual who had come for prayer ministry. And as we talked, it was apparent that prayer was just not going to get anything done. I even tried to pray, and I didn't know what I know today. And I tried to pray, and I couldn't get the prayer over my head. I couldn't touch God on that person's behalf. I didn't know what was happening because I thought I knew the person. I thought I understood that person, that individual. I did not know that what was going on in that individual's life was rebellion and stubbornness and disobedience to the word of God. And when I tried to intercede on that individual's behalf, it went nowhere. And finally, I got so frustrated about what was going on, I finally asked the Lord, what's happening here? And he told me it was needless for me to pray. And I told the person, if you're going to do any praying, you're going to have to do that on your own. You and God have got to get some things straightened out in your life. Well, that was the end of that circumstance that day, that session that day. But if I'm not mistaken, it was 2 days later and the individual was back again. This time, the person was completely free. Do you know why? Because the individual had decided to repent, had decided to become obedient to the word of God, had decided to accept and do what God's word instructed, and got freedom and deliverance. Then we had prayer together, but it was worship. Hallelujah. We were able to praise the Lord together. Would you stand on your feet, please?